Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis. Three lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, Shalosh Koilos, Holchim Soifai Lamat Soifai. There are three sounds that travel throughout the entire world. And Mashab points out that the Gemara doesn't use the word Nishman. Usually when you speak about a sound, the Gemara would use the word Nishman, that these sounds are heard. Here the Gemara uses the wording holchim, that the sounds travel, to tell you that the main point of these sounds is not like we normally think of sounds, that we normally think of sounds as something that is heard. The main point of these sounds is to serve as a way to publicize and show the greatness of Hashem. Ve'elohim, Gol Gilgal Chama, the sun as it travels, Gol Hamoinish Shal Roimi, that the sound of the Roman Empire, V'kol Neshama B'shosh Shiyotzim Naguf, and as a body, as somebody leaves the world, and some say Afleda, to explain the Mashah, what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that Flamed Zion Amar Aleph teaches us, if somebody hurts one neshama in Klal Yisrael, is kilu ived olam molei, as if he destroyed the entire world. And whoever supports one neshama in Klal Yisrael, mal of kosov kilu kim olam molei, it's if he supported the entire world, the whole world. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that when the birth of a person or the death of a person is so powerful that it's, that when somebody is born or somebody, Rahman Slan, is nifter, it's as if the entire world is affected by that, what just happened. And some say, Kol Radia. What is the Kol Radia? That's the Malach who gives who gives nourishment to all the fields, and as the rainwater and the water from below the earth irrigates the fields, that is also a tremendous sound. And the lesson of that sound is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all of the needs of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings panasa to the entire world. Or boy, Rabbanan Rachmei, but the Rabbanim Davin on the Shama, on the sound of the Neshama, B'shosh Shiyotzim Naguf, as it leaves the body, that it should not be so strong, Ubatlua, they were Mavatlet. Mashah explains that Chazal did not want a Misa, a person passing away, Chaman Slan, should be such a significant event. And they wanted to downplay that event, and that's why they asked that that sound should not be heard. Tanya Kavaseh Rav Shela. But in our previous year, going back to the Mishnah, there was a discussion in the Mishnah about Kriyas HaGever, that Kriyas HaGever was the time every morning when they started the Trumas Hadeshen, not on Yom Kippur and not on Yom Tovim. And there was a question in the Gemara how to define Kriyas HaGever. One interpretation was that there was somebody in the Beis HaMikdash, Gvini Kruz, who would make the announcements. And Kriyas HaGever means when he would make the announcements in the Beis HaMikdash. And the other interpretation, that was the interpretation of Rav. And Rav Shela's interpretation of Kriyas HaGever is when the chicken crow makes the sound in the morning. So says the Gemara. So we had a Braisa that supported the opinion of Rav, and that says the Gemara Tanya Kavasid Rav Shela. There's a Brice that supports Rav Shela's opinion that it has to do with the chicken, because it says Hayoitz L'Derech, if somebody starts out a trip, Kaidim Kriyas HaGever, early in the morning before the chicken starts to crow, Dama Baroshai, he's doing something irresponsible. Rav Yoshi Omer, not only should somebody not go out on a trip before that, but he should wait until he makes the noise twice. There's even an opinion, Achi Shalish, until he makes the noise three times. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Be'ezah Tana Goyel Amru, what type of chicken are we discussing? Says the Gemara, Be'tana Goyel Be'nini, not too large and not too small. Amru Yudah Merav, B'shosh Yisrael Oyla Meregel, as Kla Yisrael Oyla Regel, so says the Gemara, Oymdim Tzfufim, they used to stand in the Beis Hamikdash. In a position of being very tight. But mishtachvim, when they bow down, revochim. Mishtachvim revochim, they're able to bow down with plenty of room between the people. And there's many pshatim in the Rishonim. Why? Rashi explains, because when the people bow down, that's when they said the vidui. And it's inappropriate that one person should hear the other person's vidui. And therefore, there was space between the people that nobody should be able to hear anybody else saying the vidui. Another pshat is that the Medrash says in Koheles that people, when they bow down, would be mispalo. But if I hear somebody else being mispalo, then it takes away my concentration for being able to daven properly. So that's why there was space between the people as they bowed down. Another pshat is that as Klal Yisrael bowed down, that's when the Shechina comes. And since that's when the Shechina comes, everybody, just like we're going to learn later in the Shir, that the Makom Aron, the place where the Aron stood, was a place that didn't take up any room. Makom Aron Einam and Amida. So too, when people are prostrating themselves in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't take up any room. And then the Rabbeinu Yoina says a very simple pshat. He says if people are all bowing down at the same time, then what's going to happen is that one person is going to push the other person when he's bowing down. But because people have the space, one doesn't hurt the other person. Another pshat that I saw from the Chassam Sofer, that even though people are sometimes tight, they have to revochim. They have to realize that everything that happens from Hashem is revach. We know revach represents profit. And a person has to recognize that everything that happens from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revochim, is something that we should be proud of. Another pshat that I saw from the Chassam Sofer is that a person, when he was in Yerushalayim, recognized that the amount of place that he takes up is unimportant. And that's why when a person feels that the amount of place that he takes up is really not significant, then we could indeed have Oymdim Tzufim Mishtachim Revochim. When a person thinks that he needs to take a place, that's when there could be concern. But when a person feels that they didn't need any problems and everything that they have is fine, then they have no problem Mishtachim Revochim. And continues the Gemara, they took up Achas Asri Amma Shechari Beisakapyrus. They took up the place, the 13 Amis, behind the Kapyrus. Says the Gemara, my Kavanasoi, what does it mean? Hachi Kama. The base, the Azoro, was so full that not only did Klal Yisrael take up the entire Azoro, but even the 11 Amis that were behind the Beis HaKapyrus, Achas Asri Amma Shechari Beis HaKapyrus, that they overflowed into the area behind the Beis HaKapyrus. So we obviously see that there were so many people filling up the Azara. The halacha here is still Oymdim Tzufim, and there was still no room to move. Kishay Mishtachvim, when they bow down, Mishtachvim Revochim, there was plenty room for everyone. And I saw that the Rishonim suggest that this special that this area behind the Azara is really an area that normally Yisraelim may not be there. But because of the special circumstances on Yom Kippur or the Shalosh Regalim, that's when they had room. And the Chasam Sofer goes on to explain, based on the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Samach Dal Rama Beis. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Samach Beis, says that Agrifas HaMelech once took account of all of the Korban Pesach that were brought one year on Erev Pesach. And as we figure out that Gemara, there must have been about 6 million men there. So there was a tremendous amount of people trying to enter in the Azara. And yet, I'm Tzvufim Shtachim Vachim. But then, asked the Chasam Sofer, if that's the case, that there were so many people, so why does the Gemara only focus on the Nes that they, when they bowed down, they had enough room? There should have been a Nes even when they stood. So he says that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. There were two Nisim. One Nes was, says the Chasam Sofer, that I'm the Mitzufim. There was enough room for all of them to stand. And not only was there a Nes that there was enough room for all of them to stand, but it was Mishtachvim Ravachim that when they bowed down, another Nes occurred that when they bowed down, there was enough room for everybody to bow down and have enough room to do what they had to do without any problem. B'zeh, says the Gemara, Echem Esar Nisim Shenasu B'Migdash. And this is actually one of the 10 Nisim that happened to Beis HaMigdash. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Perikei Mishnah Hei, Asar Nisim Nasu B'Beis HaMigdash, there were actually 10 Nisim that happened in the Beis HaMigdash. And I saw that the Ben Ish Chai explains that the Gemara is focused on the number 10. And we know that the number 10 represents the Asar Nisyonis, then there's 10 Nisyonis that Avram Avinu passed. And says the Ben Ish Chai, because Avram Avinu passed those 10 Nisyonis, that's why, because Avram Avinu was able to pass those 10 Nisyonis, leading up with the 10th Nisyon, we know the Nisyon of the Akedah, that's why his descendants was Zoicha to all of these Nisim. Actually, when we learn Pirkei Avos, the girsa there is Nasa Asar Nisim Nasa Lavaisenu B'Beis HaMikdash. It explains the why does the Mishnah over there, the Medrash Shmuel explains, why does the Mishnah say Lavaisenu? He says that the Mishnah wants to teach us that when these Nisim happened, it wasn't just coincidental. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a Nes, he makes it that we should learn from that we should learn from that Nes. And that's why L'Avoseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these Nisim that L'Avoseinu, our forefathers, should learn. The first Nes was, Loi Hipile Isha Mereich Bas HaKadosh. Meat that was burnt on the Mizbeach never caused a woman to miscarry. The halacha is that a woman who's pregnant and she wants to eat something and we don't give it to her, she could cause the baby to be in danger. But here we have a problem that this meat is meat that she's not allowed to eat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that any woman who smelled this meat didn't have to eat from the Basar HaKadosh. As the Tveres Yisrael has, that we should maybe say that pregnant women should not be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Because if they're going to have a problem, if they're going to want to eat the meat, now we're going to have a problem. So maybe we should tell them not to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Teaches us the Gemara that there was never such a concern. And in fact, the Tosfos Yom Kippurim says that they could rely that they won't have to be hungry, and therefore they don't have a problem entering the Beis HaMikdash under such circumstances. Next, V'lo Yisriach Beis HaKadosh Ma'olam. The meat in the Beis HaMikdash never spoiled, even though there was such a tremendous abundance of meat. And they had to make sure that all the meat was burnt on the Mizbeach, and sometimes it stood outside in the heat. The halacha is that it never happened that they should get spoiled. Rabbeinu Yoina has a different pshat. We know that shlomim are kachem kalim, and shlomim can be eaten l'shnei yom v'laylecha for 2 days and one night. So we may think that in those days they didn't have refrigerators and freezers, that the meat that's going to be left, and it could be quite hot in Yerushalayim, will get spoiled, teaches us the Gemara v'lo yisriach basa kodesh ma'olam. On the same line, v'lo yiniras v'v'v b'esam et b'chayim. There were no flies in the butchering area in the Beis HaMikdash, even though there was such an abundance of meat. V'lo yira kerel kohen gadol b'yom kippurim. A kohen gadol never became about a carry on Yom Kippur. So the Tosfos Yontif asks, we've learned in our perek so many different things that they did to prevent the kohen from seeing carry. Most notably, he had to be up the entire night of Yom Kippur, and etc. So what's the big chiddush that lo ira carry lebeis kohen gadol b'yom kippurim? So one teretz, so he suggests that what happens is that there are two powers in the world. There's the Koyach HaToiv and the Koyach HaRa. And the Koyach HaToiv and Koyach HaRa are two enemies. And when one is getting stronger, the other one wants to weaken it. So here, when the Kohen Gadol was going to do the Avodah and the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, we could well expect that all of the Koyach HaRa in the world would try to prevent it. And even though all the Koyach HaRa was trying to prevent it, it didn't have the ability to do so. But then the question, of course, is that if the nes was that the Kohen Gadol never saw carry on Yom Kippur, so why does our perek teach us all the various things that they did to prevent the Kohen Gadol from sleeping or chas v'shalom seeing carry, if there's a nes that it will never happen? So the Rishami answers with two terutzim. One terutz is, ain't soim chmel anes. We don't rely on nisim. Even though this nes occurred, we don't want to rely on nisim. And the other terutz that the Rishami suggests, that there's a difference between the Beis HaMikdash Rishon and the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. When our Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol never saw carry, that was in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. But in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they didn't have that, and that's why they had to have. That's why it was. They needed to do everything we learned in our parak. If the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, the Shtei Lechem is brought on Shavuos, the Lechem Aponim is brought every Shabbos, and if they get disqualified, we won't have a backup. And the halach is that we don't have to worry about it. And if something happens to the Lechem Aponim during the week, as she explains, we won't have lechem upon him till next Shabbos. It never happened. So, of course, I saw the Mefarshim ask, shouldn't lechem upon him be mentioned first? So, because lechem upon him was every Shabbos, the Omer and the Shtei Lechem were only once a year. And the Mefarshim say the way to understand the Mishnah, the way to understand the Gemara is loizu afsu. Not only that it not happened by the Omer and Shtei Lechem, which only happened once a year, but not even the Lechem upon him that happened every Shabbos, never was there a case that it got disqualified. And then the Gemara continues what we discussed earlier. A snake, a stork, or a scorpion never did damage ever. And in fact, I saw that the Medrash Shmuel points out that the Mishnah here uses the word me'olam to teach us not only when the Beis HaMikdash was standing did this nes happen, but even when the Beis HaMikdash was not standing, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim prevented that from happening. So Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that no one in Yerushalayim never got bitten by a snake or a scorpion. What the Gemara means to say, says Rashi, that no one passed away from a snake or a scorpion bite. There was never a situation where somebody should be upset by saying, "Tzali amokim Yerushalayim, I don't have a rough room in Yerushalayim." So it says the Chasam Sofer that even though Yerushalayim was a place where people constantly were bowing down, and that takes up room. Still, no one ever complained that they didn't have enough room. The Magen Avos has a different pshat. He says people who were tzaddikim never felt uncomfortable in Yerushalayim. But even the people who did feel uncomfortable in Yerushalayim never complained. So there were two madregas. One is that tzaddikim didn't feel uncomfortable, and even the people who did feel uncomfortable never complained. And I saw that the Gemara says that Lo'omar Adam L'chaver Tzali Amokum Sh'olin. Olin is in the future tense. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that maybe somebody's going to not want to travel to Yerushalayim, saying there's just not enough room there. That was never part of anyone's calculation. People were always prepared to travel to Yerushalayim and knew that they'll find room there. But ask the Gemara. Pesach, the Mishnah began by discussing the Nisim that happened in the Migdash. V'sayim, but the Mishnah concludes by discussing the Nisim that happened in Yerushalayim. So we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about Yerushalayim. Answers the Gemara. Iketat Nosach Renosim and Migdash. There were two more Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're not focused on Yerushalayim. The Tanya. There was constantly a fire on the Mizbeach, which was outdoor. And even though it was outdoors, the fire never extinguished that fire. And the Meshach points out, as we learned and we're going to learn, that even though a fire came down min ha-shamayim, the halacha is mitzvah lahavi min ha-hedjet. We have to bring a man-made fire to the base, to the Mizbeach. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that not only the fire that came in a shemayim was never extinguished by the rain, but even the fire that was man-made was never extinguished. And next nice was v'shar marocha, the smoke that came up from the mizbeach, afilu kol rucha shba'olim bos u'menashim soy, even though it might have been very windy, mezizas oisim mekamei, it always went up in a straight line. Asked the Gemara, Vesuleka, were there no other Nisim that happened in Yerushalayim? V'tana Shmaya b'Kamboi, Shmaya taught us a brisa in the city of Kamboi, Shivrei Kli Cheres Nevlam M'Kaimam. When we speak about a Keli becoming non-kosher, so we know that we could kasher a Keli, we could kosherize a Keli. However, a Kli Cheres, an earthenware cup, an earthenware Keli, can never be kashered. Shvirason zui tarosim. The only way is to break it. Now, many kalim became disqualified because if you cooked carbon in a kli cheres, so once the time that you're not allowed to eat that carbon passes, the blia, the absorption in that keli now is nicer. So if it's a metal keli, we could kasher it. But if it's a kli cheres, we can't kasher it. So what could you do? The only thing we could do is break it. And the Mishnah is telling us that Shivrei Kli Cheres that were broken and you didn't want to have Yerushalayim full of shards, what happened, and you didn't, and it was a bezoyin to the kachim, if they would just be laying around, they would be in the Vlam B'Mekayim, they would get absorbed in the ground wherever they were. Shomer, Omar Abaya, and similarly Abaya says, Moir v'notza, the parts of the feathers and the crap of the carbon oilus oif that have to be removed from the bird before they burn it, and then you have that waste material. Disha mizbech apnimi, whereas they take out the ash for the mizbech apnimi. Disha menaira, whereas they take out the ash from the menaira. All of them, nevlab and mekaimam, are just absorbed in the ground. Rashi taught us earlier in the Masechta on Daf Chof that we spoke extensively about the Trumas Adeshin, and Rashi says that that ash also that they did the Trumas Adeshin with every morning also was absorbed in the ground, and it's a tremendous nace because the ground was made out of marble. Tosfos over there, the Ramaskel Nevloim, questions Rashi. He says, if that was the case, that the Trumas Adeshin was absorbed in the ground, why does our Gemara mention it? Why doesn't our Gemara mention it? And furthermore, why was the Gemara say that it's subject to Milah? If it got absorbed to the ground, it doesn't exist. We don't have to worry about Milah. So the Raya is not a compelling Raya, because here we're talking about things that weren't put next to the Mizbeach. Something that's put next to the Mizbeach and a nace happens that gets absorbed to the ground is much easier to understand than something that wasn't put next to the Mizbeach. And therefore, our Gemara doesn't speak about what was put next to the Mizbeach, even though it too had the din of, it too was absorbed in the ground. So, why, asked the Gemara, were they not cited in that Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, when we say Psula Tlosa Hava, the three things that never got disqualified, the Oimer, the Shtei Lechem, and Lechem Aponim, are really Chshvinu Chad, are to be considered as one Nes. So therefore, Apik Trey, take out two of the list, and the Ayel Trey, and put in their place the two new Nisim that we just mentioned, the absorption of the Kli Cheres, and the absorption of these other things in the floor of the, Even though they're both speaking about Blia, so why aren't they not considered one Nes? So I saw that the Ben Yoyada asked this question. He said, because these two different types of articles that got absorbed are different. One is that it didn't get disqualified. So anything that didn't get disqualified is all the same. Here, there's two things. One is that the ash got absorbed, and that was something that was Kodesh. The Shirei Keli was just a vessel, and that's why it's considered two separate nisim. That's the Gemara's Havamina. But ask the Gemara, at the end of the day, it's still one thing. Bluam namitrei havenu, el cheshvinu b'chad, and that should be considered one nis. And if that's going to be the case, chasru chad, we're missing one of the nisim. Answers the Gemara, ikad nami achrida. There's one more nis. Darim Shiva, levi nis kol hoy nasib lechem upon him. There's a tremendous nis that happened with the lechem upon him. As we've mentioned many times, the lechem upon him was every Friday they baked new lechem upon him, unless it was Yontif, and they took that lechem upon him and left it till Shabbos. On Shabbos, they took out the old lechem upon him and replaced it with the new lechem upon him. It says the Gemara, Neis God lo yinas b'lechem upon him. Seluka, when it was taken out on Shabbos, 8 days after it was baked, kisadura, it was as warm as when they put it in. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, losum lechem choyim b'yom hilachoy. It was warm as it was when they took it in. And the Ben Yoyada explains that what is the purpose of this neis? That somebody who learns Torah, somebody who's connected to Kedusha, doesn't have to worry that anything will happen to him. His slahavis, his madrega, will never go down. And he goes on to say that the word cham, hat, is begematria 48. We know that the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos speaks about the men ches kinyonim, the 48 ways that Torah is niknas, how we could achieve Torah. And this is the lesson, that if somebody keeps his madrega, keeps his lahavis all week long, all the time, then he will be successful in Torah. Ask the Gemara, v'suleka, were there no other nisim? V'am Rabbi Levi, davazem asaris miyadeinim avaseinu, mokam aron, the spat in the base in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that the Aron took up, that the entire area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 by 20 amos, and the Aron sat in the middle of that area, that if we measured from the Aron to either side, we'll still have 10 amos. And they didn't take up any space. Amar Avinoy Amar Shmuel, Kruvim, the Kruvim that Shlomo put on the ground next to the Aron from each side that hovered, the wings hovered over the Aron, B'nei Sayo Aimdim. They really should take, there really shouldn't be any room for them. And yet, the nes was that it didn't take up any room. And the Ben Yoyada explains what is the nes of that. The nice here is that somebody who spends money or spends resources on Torah doesn't have to worry. It won't cause that his income or that his resources should be in any way diminished. So ask the Gemara, why are these nisim not mentioned? Answers the Gemara, nis de broi kachoshiv, the nisim that happen outside of the Beis HaMikdash are mentioned, nis de gavoi, but the nisim that happen inside the Beis HaMikdash, loi kachoshiv, are not mentioned in this Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, ihochi lechem upon him, nami nis de gavoi, if that's the question, that's the case, that this also didn't happen. So Mashiach asks an obvious question, the Oren was in the Kodesh Gedoshim. The Lechem was in the Kodesh. So maybe that's the difference. So the Ben Yoyada says there's no reason to differentiate between something that happened in the Kodesh Gedoshim and in the Kodesh. What's the reason that the Nes that happened in the Kodesh Gedoshim is not mentioned? Because people didn't see what was going on in the Kodesh Gedoshim. But similarly, just like they didn't see what was going on in the Kodesh Gedoshim, they didn't see what was going on in the Kodesh. So why is it mentioned? Ask the Gemara, lechem upon him, nami devro. Answers the Gemara, lechem upon him, nais debrohi. The nais of the lechem upon him was a nais that happened outside. Dabar shlokish maidiksiv, the pasuk says, regarding the lechem upon him, the Torah says, v'santam oisum shtayim arochus, sheish hamarechus al shulchan ator. So the Torah calls the shulchan ator. Tor indicates that it's tamei, that it could be mekabel tumah. But ask the Gemara, why could it be mekabel tumah? Isn't this a kli eitz? It's a keli that's made out of wood. And the Gemara Masechta Chagiga says, why is it considered a kli eitz? Don't we know that the shulchan was completely plated in gold? So the Gemara answers that since we see that the Torah calls it a kli eitz, that means that even though it was plated in gold, it has the status of a kli eitz. And the halacha is, kli eitz ha'osel nachas, a kli that's made out of wood that's not meant to be moved, or a kli eitz, ain't a mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel tumah. There's a machlokes, what does that mean? Some say that any keli that could hold 40 saw of a liquid is considered a keli that's osel nachas. Others say, if it's meant to be steady, stationary, in one place, that makes it a kli eitz ha'osel nachas, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. It's also choitzis b'nei tumah. It could serve as a separation before tumah. So why is the shulchan able to mekabel tumah? Ella says the Gemara, melamed shemagbin oisel oile regolim. They used to pick up the shulchan to show to all the oile regolim, to show them ruach chibaschal of neim mokim, to demonstrate how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us. Because as we learned, siluka kisiduroi, the bread remained warm when they took it out, just like when they put it in. Shenema, as the pasuk we quoted earlier, says, losum lechem b'chayim b'yayim l'chay, it remained warm even though when they took it up. So some Rishonim say that they actually took it out to the Azara to show everybody. Others say that they didn't take it out to the Azara. They just opened up the door of the Heichal, and all the people who were standing in the Azara were able to see what was going on. Ask the Gemara, Vesuleka. The Gemara continues asking, were there no other nesim? V'amar b'oshia, b'shar shabana shlame beis ha-migdash, when shlame melech built the beis ha-migdash, nota by kol mine megodim shalzov. He planted all types of delicacies made out of gold, trees made out of gold. V'yamaitzin perisayim b'zmanim, they used to deliver fruit on the proper time. Ukshay ruach min ha-sheves behen, and when the wind blew, noishim, these gold fruit would fall down. Shnema Yirash Kalvonon period. David HaMelech was mispalel for Shloima in Tehillim in Perik Ayin Beis Posuk Ayin Tezayin. He was mispalel that when the wind comes and the gold fruit are shaking, that should cause a tremendous sound. Says the Gemara, when the Nochrim entered the base of Migdash, Yavesh, that tree dried up. Shnemar uferach levonan umlal. But says the Gemara, this gold fruit tree will come back. Shnemar, as Yeshaya says, Nevuah, about loss of Lovoi, the Pasuk says, Porach Tifrach, V'sogel, Af Gilas V'ranin K'voyin Alvonin Nitin Lo. So why doesn't the Gemara, why isn't this a tremendous nace not mentioned? And he saw that Dimri Emes was asked, that the Pasuk says, Le'sitel Chashera Kolets, that you're not allowed to plant any fruit tree in the base of Migdash. So how could Shlomo HaMelech planted this tree? So then Miriamit says a regular tree of wood cannot be planted in the Azara. This was not a regular tree, it was a gold tree. Such a tree could be planted in the Azara. So answers the Gemara, so why is this nice not mentioned? Answers the Gemara, Nisa de Kavir like a Choshev. Things that happen on a steady basis were not mentioned. These trees were there on a steady basis. Says the Gemara, now that we've established that something that's that way all of the time, hash the dasas lachi, now that the Gemara has given such a teretz, says the Gemara, Aron the Kruvim, when we speak about the Aron the Kruvim, and we mentioned that that was a nace, that they didn't take up any room, are also nisa the kavi and the nu, that were there on a full-time basis, and that's why don't need to be weren't mentioned in the Mishnah as Nisim that happened in the base of Mikdash. Amar Mar, we learned earlier in Amar Aleph, Vashan b'maracha, the smoke that came out of the Mizbeach never dispersed. Asked the Gemara, Umi hava ashen b'maracha, was there any smoke coming out of the Mizbeach? V'tanya chamisha dvarim nemer b'esha maracha, five things were said regarding that fire. Revutza kari, it looked like a lion. Ubara kachama, and it looked, and it was clear like the sun. It didn't, and the Rabbeinu Eliyakim explains it was white, not red. V'yesh by mamish, it was tangible like coals. V'chelas lachem kuyaveshim, and it could absorb something that's wet, liquid or dry. Even though fire can't usually work against something which is liquid, v'enamaloshim, and it didn't bring up any smoke. So how are we speaking about the smoke? Answers the Gemara: Ki kamrinan. What fire are we speaking about? B'dehedyet. We're talking about, as we mentioned earlier, that even though fire came down in the Shemayim on the Mizbeach, there's a mitzvah, as the Pasuk says, that, as the Gemara says, the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, that even though the fire comes down in the Shemayim, there's a mitzvah, lahavi min ahedyet, and that fire that we brought went up straight. The smoke went up straight. The fire that came in Hashemayim, there was no problem with it all. And I saw that the Shema Shmuel says, why is there a mitzvah to bring Eish min ha-hedyet? To teach us that there's two types of ways that we look at our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Surusa d'la'ela, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, so to speak, the first move and is mashpia on us. And then there's the Sarusa Dlasata, which starts by us and we work our way up. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is teaching us that it's not just enough to have a Sarusa Dlaila. It's not just enough to have a fire in the Shemayim. We also need to have a Sarusa Dlasata, a fire from here. And the Bermaim Chaim says that in the Akedah, the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu took the Yikach Bayodai as so Eish. What does it say? Ho'esh? To tell us, we're talking about that fire that just like by the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to bring down Eish min HaShemayim, but that wasn't enough. There had to be Eish min HaHedyet. That was what Avram Avinu taught us when he went to the Akedah, that he too brought Eish, and he did not just rely on the Eish that was going to come down from Shemayim. Ask the Gemara, we said that the fire looked like a lion. But ask the Gemara for Tanya. Didn't we learn in a different brisa that Amar Yehuda Chanin Skan Ganim Ani Risia? I saw the fire on the mizbeach and Ravutzke Kelev. It looked like a dog. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kamen Migdash Rishon, Kamen Migdash Sheni. There's a difference between the Beis Migdash Rishon, where it looked like a lion, versus the Beis Migdash Sheni, looked like a dog. So I saw that the Ramah has a sefer called Torah Se'ola. He says, what's the difference between a lion and a dog? A lion, he says, everybody is frightened by the lion and runs away from the lion. And therefore, whatever the lion wants, the lion gets. When we speak about a dog doesn't have that ability. And therefore, the Shefa that came down in the base of Migdash Rishon is much greater. That's what the Gemara is saying, is much greater than the Shefa that came down in the base of Migdash Sheni. A Migdash Sheni Mehava asked the Gemara, was there fire that came down in the base of Migdash Sheni? V'am Rav Shmuel Bar Enya, Ma'ed Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Chagai, V'Erzabah V'Kabed, V'Karinabah V'Kabda, Ma'ishna D'mchusa Hei, why is the word that should have been spelled with a hey in it, not have the hey at the end of it? Why isn't it there? To teach us, there were five things that were in the base of Migdash Rishon that weren't in the base of Migdash Sheni. There were no iron and kaparas of kruvim in the base of Migdash. They were in the base of Migdash Rishon, but they weren't in the base of Migdash Sheni. There's a machloikis rishonim. What does that mean? Some rishonim say that there was no iron at all in the base of Migdash Sheni, because that's the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban says that having kalim in the base of Migdash is not part of the base of Migdash. They're there to serve purpose. But if there was no luchas in the base of Migdash Sheni, there was no purpose to have an Orin. According to the Rambam, it's not that way. The Rambam says that in the base of Migdash, there was a need to have kalim. Having kalim in the base of Migdash is part of building the base of Migdash. And what the Gemara means to say is that they had an Orin, but they didn't have luchas in the Orin. The Eish that we're discussing, the Eish that comes down min Hashemayim, the Shechina was missing. So the Ben Yoyada says that it doesn't mean that there was no Shechina, because he says, Chazal teach us that afilu b'churban, even in the time of the Churban, lo yzoza Shechina b'kais l'maravi. The kais l'maravi always has the Shechina. So certainly when we had a Beis HaMikdash, there was a Shechina. What the Gemara means to say is that the level of the Shechina that we had by Beis HaMikdash Rishon diminished considerably by the Mace, diminished considerably by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. For Ruach HaKodesh, the Klai Yisrael did not have Ruach HaKodesh, and they did not have Urim V'Tumim. They did not have the Urim V'Tumim in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And here too, there's a question. What does it mean that there were no Urim V'Tumim in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni? Does it mean that they didn't have Urim V'Tumim, and they still the Kohen Gadol as long as he wore the Choshen, even though that they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, the Choshen is still enough that it's considered that he's wearing all the Begadim, that the Kohen Gadol is wearing all the Big Dekuna that he's obligated to wear? Or does it mean that they had the Urim V'Tumim, but it didn't have the power that the Urim V'Tumim had previously? But of course they had Urim V'Tumim, because if you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, then the halacha would be that that Kohen Gadol, who's missing the Urim V'Tumim, is considered a Mechus Begadim. He's missing some of the Begadim that he's obligated to wear. And a Kohen Gadol who's Mechus Begadim can't do the Avoida. Amri, so here we see there was no fire. And before there was no fire coming down in the Shemayim. And before we said that there was, answered Gemara, Min Mehava have it. There was a fire in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni came down in the Shemayim. However, L'siyu Eloi Messiah, it didn't have the ability to help burn the Kabbonis on the Mizbeach like the fire that came down from the Shemayim and the Beis HaMikdash Rishon had that ability. So the Gemara discusses Tanur Rabbanan Sheish Eishasei. When we speak about fire, we speak about all different types of fire. And in fact, this discussion here, when we speak about all the different types of fire, leads many Paiskim to say that we see from here that everything that's in the category of fire is considered fire. Because if that were not the case, and therefore electricity should also be considered fire. Because our Gemara is teaching us that anything, Sheish Eishasein, everything is considered in the category of fire. So again, says the Gemara, Sheish Eishasein, there are five categories of fire. Yesh, there's a fire that echels v'nishesa, that eats but doesn't drink. The Gemara is going to explain anything. V'yesh shosh v'echels, drinks and doesn't eat. V'yesh echels v'shosh, eats and drinks. V'yesh echels laichem kiveshim, it could eat something that's moist, equally to eat something which is dry. V'yesh eish doicha eish, and there's a fire that could push away another fire. And the Gemara says, Yesh Eish Eichels Fenishaisa, fire that eats and doesn't drink, harder then. That's normal fire that we know. It could affect something which is a solid, which is dry, but not liquids. Yesh, the next was Shaisa Fenichelis, the Chulin, the Chulin, fever. What it does is the fever burns up the entire moisture that it's in a person's body, and that's why somebody who's sick constantly needs to drink. Eicheles v'shoisa d'Elio. We know that Elio HaNavi wanted to show the Nevi'ei HaBaal that Hakshem Hu Elokim, and what they're worshipping Avodah Zarah is meaningless. So what happened was, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, v'samayim shetav b'halo eicha. Everything was there, the fire that came down Mishmayim was consumed by the fire. Eicheles lachem kiveshim, that's able to eat moist and dry, that's the fire that was on the Mizbeach, and it ate the wood, which is dry, and the meat, and everything that was wet or dry, it ate up. Yesh esh doich esh, the Gavriel. Gavriel is the Tsar of Esh. And when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the furnace, Gavriel, who is Esh, was able to push away that fire. Yesh esh, Sheichelos Eish, the Shechina. That's talking about the Eish of the Shechina. The Amamar, the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Aflamet Ches, Amen Beis, that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created Malachim, and he asked the Malachim, should he create people? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and the Malachim said no. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol did, Hoshet Etzpeh B'neim, he put his finger on them, and Malachim of fire, V'sarfen, and he was able to burn up those Malachim. Said the Gemara, we learned earlier, V'yashen HaMarach HaFilu Kol HaRuch Shba'olim Eim Azizu Zayim Kaimai. The smoke that came out of the Mizbeach can never be pushed away. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'am Rav Yitzhak B'Avdimi, B'matzo Yontav Akron Shel Chag, on Matzo Yontav of Sukkos, HaKot Soifel HaShem Marocha. Everybody would look at the smoke coming off the Mizbeach, and based on which direction the smoke went, they would be able to determine how the year will look. Noita klapet zofen, if it's going towards the north, that means there's a south wind. If there's a south wind, anim smechem, the poor people were satisfied about batim et sevim, they were upset. Negishme shana, because when there's a south wind, it's indication, gishme shana merubim, it's going to rain a lot this year, and therefore it's going to be very humid. Ubersei markivim, and the owners won't be able to keep fruit in their warehouses, because they will get spoiled. So there's going to be an abundance of fruit available, and that will push the price down. If noita klapadorim, if the smoke is going towards the south side, then anim, so that's an indication there's a north wind. And when there's a north wind, anim at sevim balbatim smechem. The anim are upset and the balbatim are happy. Negishme shonam, because that's an indication that the rain, there's not going to be a lot of rain. Ubrisei mishtamrim, and it's not going to be very humid. And they're going to be able to keep the fruit in the warehouse and be able to raise the price. Noita klapadmizrach, if it's going towards the east, hakol smechem, because that's not too much and not too little. Klapi mariv, if it's going towards the west side, which means there's an east wind, hakol at sevim, everybody's upset, because that causes that all the fruit should get dried up, and there will be a shortage and a hunger, and everything will be expensive, and they won't have what to eat. So we see from here that the wind did go. Answers the Gemara, the also of Asik Adiklev of Duri Loi Mavder. It used to, it was slanted in a certain direction, but it didn't, but it was still straight, even though it was slanted in that direction. Amamar, Klapi Mizrach, Hakol Smechem. Klapi Marav, Hakol Atsevim. Ask the Gemara, but there's a Braisa that teaches us just the opposite. For a mini, Mizrach is Loilam Yofa, a east wind is good. Merav is Loilam Kosha, a west wind is always bad. Ruach Tzfoinis, a north wind, Yofel Chitin, is good for wheat. Shah Shavi Shlish, there was already a third grown. The Kosha Lazasim is Manshein Chaitim, and they're not good for olives as they are blossoming. Ruach Duraimus, a south wind. Kosh L'chitim B'shar Shavi Yishlish, just the opposite. Once the wheat brought a third, they're not good. V'yofel Zaysim B'shar Shein Chaitim. V'am Rav Yosef, Simonach. V'am Rav Zaytah, V'item Rav Zutra, V'simonach. How to remember what's good and what's not good. Shulchan B'tzofen, the Shulchan, which had the Lechem upon it, which we discussed earlier in the Shir, which made out of Chitim, was in the Tzofen. Menoira, which had on it in it the candles that we lit from Shemen Zayas, was in Durham. So, high marbim of the day, the high marbim of the day, the Ruach Tzfoinis is good for Chitim, and that's why the Shulchan was in the Tzofen. The Ruach Droimis is good for Zaysim, and that's why the Menorah was in Durham. So we see that here we learn that the Ruach Mizrachis is good, and the Ruach Maravis is not good, just the opposite that we learned before. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Hala han v'alaluhu. It makes a difference for the people in Eretz Yisrael versus the people in Bavel. Bavel was in a valley, and Bavel was an area which was extremely humid. And therefore, a Ruach Mizrachis that dries up the humidity is good in Bavel. But the Ruach Maravis, which brings moisture, is not good in Bavel. But Eretz Yisrael, which is a dry climate, there it's just the opposite. The Ruach Maravis, which brings rain, moisture, is good. And the Ruach Mizrachis, which dries up the area, which is already dry anyway, is not good. So every area has its own needs. Hanu Lach Shavas Shamim, Hanu Lach Shavas Shamim, Hanu Lach Shavas Shamim.